Welcome into another edition of Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson. Today is part two of my conversation with Patty Garibay. She is the founder of American Heritage Girls. In fact, they are enjoying their 25th anniversary this very year. She's written a new book entitled Why Curse the Darkness When You Can Light a Candle? Now, if you're not already a part of American Heritage Girls with your girls under the age of 18 in your neck of the woods, go online and check out a chapter near you, AmericanHeritageGirls.com. How many chapters are there? How many girls are involved right now in AHG?
There are over 1,200 churches that charter American Heritage Girls, and that's about 56,000 members this year.
Terrific. Last time we talked, we devoted our conversation to Patty's biography. If you missed that, make sure to log on to generations.org/radio and check out the previous program to learn about her childhood and her various life experiences, which brought us both to tears. And I think you will enjoy that. Make sure to get the book, too. The website to get the book is whycursedthedarkness.com. That's whycursedthedarkness.com. All right, we're exploring chapters 12 through 20 today. We start out in this chapter with the fact that you had enthusiastically joined the Girl Scouts of the USA and become a leader, very involved in Rachel's Brownie Troop. Tell me why Girl Scouts meant so much to you.
I had been a Girl Scout as a young girl, and it was the one time that I could leave those walls of my home and really escape what was going on there and be a girl, be a kid. I was able to engrave childhood memories on my heart from the experiences, the camp, and all the fun that I had had. I loved it, and I made good girlfriends, and I couldn't wait to do this with my daughters. It was just something that was pleasant for me, and I wanted it for my own.
For those that missed yesterday's program, the nutshell of it is that your father was diagnosed with MS, and as he became increasingly dependent on the care of your mother and you and your siblings for help, doing things like going to the restroom and getting him out and about, your mother turned to alcohol and became an alcoholic and became verbally abusive of you. And so that's why you talk about kind of escaping the difficulties in your home. You're also part of the caretaking of your father, which was challenging in and of itself. So there you were, involved with the Girl Scouts, and you became increasingly sensitized as a developing Christian, having trusted Christ a number of years before, to the lyrics that you were hearing in your favorite genre of music that you and your husband enjoyed, rock and roll, and began kind of an outreach through the church of holding parenting classes and talking about what we should expose and not expose our children to for their own best formation of character.
We were about 24 years old, and we're teaching parents that are 40 and 50 years old what they should be teaching their kids, which seemed a little ironic, but you know what? Our age was always something funny with us. You know, we just didn't act like we were too young. We certainly had some wisdom, and we were being brought up very much with a biblical worldview at this point through our Christian walk as adults. For us, to see what a biblical worldview was so enlightening, enriching, and it made so much sense to us. You know how so often secular humanists repudiate Christianity and repudiate biblical worldview, saying that they are so smart. We felt just the opposite. We were so dumb as academics that now we get it. We get what this is really about and what the meaning of life is and what the Bible means and how it's so relevant today. So we were on fire to teach the truth to our parents.
I love what you said in one of your application questions at the end of chapter 12, Patty. You write, "The Lord never gives us a burden by mistake. In what areas do you have a fire in your belly to serve?" And this ultimately is a foreshadowing for the reader, for the listener in this case, to your future work with American Heritage Girls. You really had a desire to protect children from the evil in this world.
That's the fire in the belly that still has me doing this today after all these years. They need truth tellers in their lives, and we just don't have enough of them today.
Your husband's job moved you to McLean, Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C., and you as a family thoroughly enjoyed sinking your roots deep into America's heritage, especially the Lincoln Memorial and the oft-overlooked, rarely visited basement of the memorial, which chronicled Lincoln's life of service to the country. Again, planting seeds, I think, for your very patriotic and Christian heritage affirming girls group, American Heritage Girls.
It was at that same time that we became very familiar with David Barton's Wall Builders and were reading so many of his volumes about our founding fathers and their beliefs and their faith. And so really the name American Heritage Girls, although was not my idea, it was definitely resonated with what we were experiencing in Virginia and the hope and dream that we had that kids everywhere would understand the Judeo-Christian values upon which our country was founded. You know, my kiddos at that time were in public school. We could not afford to live there and to have Christian schools. And unfortunately, despite my excellent background, homeschooling wasn't as easily accessible. I mean, it wasn't even a thought in my head. And I should have done that. That's what I should have done. But I guess as part of the tapestry that the Lord wove for my life, I became very vigilant in watching what was going on in those public schools in Fairfax County, Virginia. And I'll tell you, that is one progressive county. And I could not believe I was monitoring every bit of curricula. My kids were sitting out almost every class because of what they were teaching. And this is all the way back in the 90s. So yes, I had the fire in the belly. I knew what was right and wrong. And I was really wanting to teach that to every parent that was listening.
Chapter 14 of your book, Why Curse the Darkness, Patty Garibay, you entitle it The Truth, and I really starred this page, page 107. As you and your husband, Pat, were watching the evening news one night, the anchor's report made you sit straight up. I could not believe what I was hearing. Girl Scouts USA was proposing a change to its foundational principle. What did they propose to do?
At the National Convention, the Girl Scouts voted to place an asterisk by the word God, which allowed for what they called flexibility in its use in the Girl Scout promise. And this Girl Scout promise is something that's said by every Girl Scout, all the way from a Daisy to a senior Girl Scout. And I knew that was really more to it than the asterisk. It was really about what was God's role in the future of Girl Scouts. Why were they kicking him out? What was this about? But I thought I could just continue my troop and it would be okay.
Your husband sitting next to you with his eyes fixed on the television gave you an elbow nudge and he said, what are you going to do about that? Now that is a man used by the Lord to literally poke you in the ribs to get going and plant more seeds for the American Heritage Girls.
That's right. And, you know, I did not want to do anything about it. Right, Adam? I mean, who wants to do something really big like that? I mean, you got four kids, you got a busy life. No, I'll just keep God in my promise and my truth. And like, no. Pat was having no part of that. No way.
So then you gathered a group of concerned parents who presumably were also involved with the Girl Scouts. And you asked the question, how do you feel about the Girl Scouts' decision to diminish God at the convention? And they were with you, weren't they?
They were. And that was exactly the kind of enforcement I felt like I needed, some reinforcement by like-minded people, and how important it is for us as Christians to stand together, arm in arm, without even any light between our shoulders, to say, yes, this is wrong, and let's do something about it. It is so scary to do things like this on your own.
Juliet Gordon Lowe, you mentioned, the founder of the Girl Scouts, herself clearly instilled biblical values in the organization at its very conception. You loved collecting historic Girl Scout books and learned that Juliet regularly read the Bible, believed in God, created the organization to provide a clear sense of right and wrong. She wanted God's truth to be central and acknowledgement of him to be foundational. And yet they had strayed clearly from their roots, didn't they?
Absolutely. You know, I started to investigate why would they do this. And we started to find things in curriculum such as very much the moral relativism, the values clarification, which was very in vogue at the time. And now it's just taken as gospel, so to speak, where you would make a values decision on who was more valuable in culture. And the girls would play these games. And then they would ask these questions in the handbook about, what would you do if somebody was cheating on their taxes or if your girlfriend decided to terminate a pregnancy? Well, reading those words, after knowing my background, they rang clear as to what in the world are the Girl Scouts doing to today's girls.
Esther 4:13 came to mind. You felt you and your husband and your small band of friends were called to take a stand for such a time as this against the Girl Scouts. You had hoped to reform them from within. I mean, you did not have the initial instinct to found a competing organization, did you?
Not at all. We thought that it was most important to show them the error of their ways. And we thought certainly with some logic and understanding and compassionate debate, they would say, oh, you're so right. These are our members. They are Christian people, and they would never want this. But no, no, no. The agenda had been instilled since the early 70s when Betty Friedan was actually on their National Board of Trustees. So this had been going on for a long time, but I did not have the eyes to see and the ears to hear.
So you founded the group called CRY, which was an acronym for Caring Responsibly for Our Youth. In your ongoing research, you discovered that there had been some distasteful programs and inappropriate retreats, including a reference from one that a Girl Scout meeting is not the place for prayers and hymns, and that in 1993, the Brownie Girl Scout Handbook said there is no, quote-unquote, right way to live, look, talk, dress, eat, or act. I mean, if that's not moral relativism with capital letters, I don't know what is.
Exactly. In every little girl's hands were those kinds of things. As a matter of fact, my troop was not allowed to sing any Christian Christmas carol at the Christmas parade, which they encouraged us to represent the Girl Scouts. We were only allowed to sing Jingle Bells and Rudolph.
You ask an interesting question at the end of chapter 15 in your book, Why Curse the Darkness, Patty Garibay. Have you ever lost relationships due to your moral convictions? Because there were some of your colleagues in the Girl Scout circles that shunned you from your decision to stand tall.
It was so bad, Adam, that I would be at the grocery store. And I was also very active in PTA, and I was a very active member of my community. Some of the ladies would literally take their carts and beeline away from me to avoid having to see me. You know what? We were called crybabies. We were made fun of. It was very bullyish and very childlike behavior. But you know what? It was one of these things where when I had those friends next to me and I had the Lord God Almighty on my side, I had enough conviction to say, you know what? I love what A.W. Tozer says. He says, the man after God's own heart must be dead to the opinion of his friends as well as his enemies. And so I started to not care.
You cited a great scripture at the end of this chapter. You ask, does God's word support the philosophy of moral relativism? Consider Colossians 2, verse 8, which says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. That puts it front and center, the importance of getting our value and our worth and the reason for our being from God himself and his values, as opposed to from the world around us.
And that is the heartbeat of my heart. And the heartbeat of American Heritage Girls, too.
When we come back, we will talk about destructive discoveries from Chapter 16 of Patty Garibay's book, Why Curse the Darkness When You Can Light a Candle? She's the founder of American Heritage Girls, their 25th anniversary this year. You can learn more about the group, get your girls involved in a chapter near you, or found one. There are 1,200 churches, 56,000 girls, a part of American Heritage Girls, with a strong Christian biblical focus. The website is AmericanHeritageGirls.com, AmericanHeritageGirls.com, and you can learn more about the book and get it through the website, WhyCurseTheDarkness.com. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson. This is Generations Radio.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus in for Kevin Swanson. We're concluding our second of two conversations with Patty Garibay, founder of American Heritage Girls. If you missed yesterday's podcast, make sure to check it out for a fascinating look at her biography, her background, her life experiences, how she even dealt with a crisis pregnancy, and how she rejected Planned Parenthood's allure to abort her baby, whom she ultimately chose to keep, thank goodness. Patty Garibay is the author of Why Curse the Darkness? When You Can Light a Candle. You can get the book through her website, whycursethedarkness.com, and you can learn more about American Heritage Girls at their website, americanheritagegirls.com. Chapter 16 was absolutely eye-opening. I had read a lot of the news stories contemporary with this decision of yours to push back, but I didn't know some of the depth of it. I found it enlightening and disturbingly so. It's called Destructive Discoveries. There was a series of conversations you had over the Christian radio airwaves encouraging others in the Girl Scouts to come forward with what they knew about what the Girl Scouts were doing, and even this secretive retreat on sex education that was innocuously marketed by the Girl Scouts but had a very deviant ultimate goal. What did you discover when you heard from and got a hold of the actual curriculum for that retreat?
You know, it's quite ironic how even understanding that this was happening in my own town, how that came about. You might remember that our parenting mentor is Dr. James Dobson, and of course, Focus on the Family was his radio show. And we listened to that every day. And one day, Family News and Focus, which was their short radio program, I had heard about this Sexuality and You retreat in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I was like, what? This is my council. This is where I'm serving as a volunteer and where my daughters are members. And by golly, my daughter, Rachel, is now a cadet, the very age of the girl that is being targeted for this Sexuality and You retreat. That is 12 to 14 years old. This is junior high girls. Never before had my daughter received mail from the local Girl Scout Council. And that very day, we had had a swim party with her other cadet friends, and the mamas were starting to chat and say, what do you think about that? You know, it's a hard subject. Would Girl Scouts be good to maybe send my daughter to this? And I said, ladies, I've been doing a lot of investigation, and let me try to find out more about this Sexuality and You retreat before you send your precious daughters to this to learn about this very important topic. So I began my, I guess you'd say, awareness campaign to try to find out what was going on. So Focus on the Family tipped me off, but I had to find people that were strong enough to say, my daughter went to this, and this is what they taught. Nobody ever called in, but the executive director of the local Girl Scout Council wanted to know those Girl Scout volunteers that were on Christian radio that were speaking out against her and her council and their program. And so she asked for a meeting of the women that were on the radio along with the pastor that was running the Christian radio show, and she would come and the council president would come. And the pastor said, you know what? That's really cool. You can come, but under one caveat, you bring the Sexuality in You curricula with you because these mothers need to know.
Yes.
And so they did. They brought the curricula.
You said for 2 hours I read through the curricula and interrupted it through sobbing and mental tirades. Like, how dare they? What gives them the right? And they say their mission is to raise caring, competent, and confident girls. How did the curricula propose to begin Friday night with the girls on the Sexuality and You retreat?
Starting on the Friday night, the girls were to kick it off with songs and games in an effort for like icebreakers and for them to meet each other. The attendees would then be told to prepare for bed and snuggle into their sleeping bags because it was time to go to bed. And then the facilitator's guide told the person that was running this part of the retreat that they should read a story in a grandmotherly fashion. And the story was called Lois Gold's Baby X, A Fabulous Child Story. Now, this story was published in 1972 in Ms. Magazine during the height of the women's movement. This magazine's co-founder is abortion advocate Gloria Steinem, and she's commonly known as the founding mother of feminism. Baby X is all about an androgynous child, one that has no gender stereotype and therefore can excel in every way. This child was good at everything because they were not tied down to a gender. And this was the story that the girls were to sleep upon.
The Girl Scouts.
Yes, the Girl Scouts.
A place where the leader should be affirming their gender, affirming their femininity, not confusing them. But that's exactly what they clearly were doing. So then the next day, according to the guide, they asked the leaders to laminate flashcards and affix these cards to each girl's back with masking tape. What were these various terms that were to be laminated and fixed on the back of each girl with masking tape that prompted the beginning of the exercise?
This Who Am I game, there were over 20 different kinds of terms or nouns, I guess you would say, and some of them included words like dyke, this is 12 to 14-year-olds, voyeur, fetish, sadist, masochist, whore, hooker, zoophiliac, nymphomania, and transvestite.
What were the girls supposed to do when they would come upon another girl with a term taped to her back?
They're supposed to not say that's gross or that's weird or anything like that. Facilitators were to encourage the girls to understand that there is a spectrum of sexual feelings and expressions, and most people fall in the middle of a bell-shaped distribution rather than at either extreme, and individuals may move in any direction along the continuum of expressions during the course of a lifetime. And the guide then also added this very important point, that they present this material in a non-judgmental fashion.
Mm. More moral confusion, more moral relativism, and really an attack on God's design for sexuality. Patty, as I hear you talk about that disturbing game called Who Am I that the Girl Scouts played on the Sexuality and You retreat, I'm reminded of three scriptures. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." And Hebrews 13:4, referring to heterosexual marriage between a man and a woman, "Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral." And I'm reminded of a final scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5, which says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God."
Absolutely, absolutely.
One of your fellow founders, ultimately, of American Heritage Girls, named Carolyn, was a former journalist, and she really began investigating through internet bulletin boards. What question did she ask, and what did she discover?
She started to ask questions about, "I'm curious to see if your council allows lesbians to serve on staff and as volunteers." And again, this is the early 90s. If you remember, Jocelyn Elders was the Surgeon General at the time. Homosexuality was very hush-hush. It was not a commonly known thing. And she had spoken out about the Girl Scouts do allow lesbians, and it was a big tirade in the Girl Scout community. "Don't tell the public that we allow lesbians." Well, we were finding out that all over the country, particularly in their camp staff, lesbians were being hired. It came to be that there was a book that my current council executive director at the time, who also, by the way, is a lesbian, was promoting to us as volunteers, that was called On My Honor, Lesbians Reflect on Their Scouting Experience. And this book was written by Nancy Manningham, who makes a very bold statement. She says that 1 in 3 Girl Scout administrators at the time identify as lesbians. Mm. That really blew our mind. 1 in 3? 35 to 40%. That is a lot of women that are lesbians. Are they all in Girl Scouts? We started to wonder, who are we leaving for the care of our children?
You actually discovered that your own Girl Scout Council had sponsored an ad in a homosexual newspaper seeking volunteers. I mean, that is a double whammy right there.
It truly was, and I'll never forget that night when we saw this in this alternative paper. They were asking for volunteers right by the ad for Lesbian Avengers. And I'm like, wow, this is who we're having as camp counselors?
Why do you think it's so important that parents protect the innocence of children and that organizations that are supposedly there to help children are the most committed to protecting the innocence of children?
You know, I think we have to wake up. We have to realize that this culture is not for Christ. It's against Christ. And I hate to be that person that says, oh, be suspect of everything, but be suspect of everything. Be suspicious. Be suspicious. Because we all know, even the Communist Manifesto talked about the importance of that next generation understanding what they're about. They're targeting our children. They've been targeting our children. And so I believe that when we are in front of the Lord God as our judge, he's going to have us account for all of our decisions. And that could be as simple of a decision as our extracurricular choices for our daughters. This was one that I couldn't believe I was allowing my daughter. Now, my daughter never went to a camp without me, but by George, I would never allow anyone that I know, whether they're Christian or not, I would never allow them to go to a Girl Scout camp today. Never, ever, ever. And I would never, ever, ever buy a box of Girl Scout cookies to promote this agenda.
That's a very interesting point, because as I go to Walmart, I see the Girl Scouts with their tempting cookies out there asking me to support them. And of course, the Girl Scouts themselves are the ones asking. So it really puts the double screw on you as you're the adult that's saying, no, I will not buy your cookies. But I have had a conversation with them in front of their moms and said, look, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but I don't believe in what the Girl Scouts stands for anymore, as they've rejected God and they've rejected America's Christian heritage and advocated for things that I think are against the Bible. I'm going to try to put it delicately to the Girl Scout themselves. I think more of us need to have that conversation, whether they see them at the Walmart parking lot or even knocking on their door in their neighborhood.
Absolutely. There is a website called MyGirlScoutCouncil.com, and these women are not affiliated. I just know of them. What they have researched and what they have documented on that Girl Scout site is absolute truth. And to share that with a volunteer, a Girl Scout volunteer, very discreetly, not to embarrass her or judge her that she's made a bad decision in front of her own daughter, but to slip a card, MyGirlScoutCouncil.com, and just help her to be educated as to what this organization is really trying to do.
In chapter 17, entitled Betrayal, of your book, Why Curse the Darkness, Patty, you talk about how you and your like-minded Girl Scout colleagues had put forth your own husband as a member of the board of the local Girl Scout Council to have a Christian and conservative evangelical voice to be influential from within. What happened leading up to that vote?
Literally at the meeting where my husband was going to be suggested from the floor, which we followed protocol to a T, along with giving the Girl Scout local council 2 weeks' notice so that they knew this was happening and that they could do all their work that they needed to do from a person being nominated from the floor. They decided to take a break during the annual meeting, and they took this break. It got really crazy in the room, in the auditorium, and I saw this scurrying about, and there were microphones being set up on either side of the aisle. So there was two microphones set up, and all of a sudden, people were populating behind these two microphones. And I'm looking at my cry friends and my husband included, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? And then during that time, we are still in a break, not part of their official meeting. This was all part of the plan. They started to talk about CRY and about my husband in particular, and about me and all this.
And again, CRY stands for what?
Caring Responsibly for Our Youth, which was the little whistleblowing group that we had started to try to turn the Girl Scouts their bad ways, you know, to try to raise awareness. And they started to talk about all these terrible things that we were doing and saying these terrible things about us. And it felt like not only a public humiliation, but in our hearts, a bit of a crucifixion. It was horrible. And I looked in front of me, and there was a woman sitting there. And she had reached back to mess with her hair, and she had a pentagram ring on.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, Father, this is not a battle between us and the Girl Scouts. This is your battle, Lord, against the adversary.
So there was a vote. You knew, because a lot of your CRI members had voted for your husband to be a member of the board of the local Girl Scouts Council. They got up and announced a bald-faced lie. What did they claim?
They said that he received zero votes. It was unbelievable. The board treasurer, who was the person responsible for counting these ballots, then made a motion for those ballots to be destroyed.
Oh, isn't that convenient?
Yes. So again, there was no trace to even, you know, no hanging chads, no recounts, no hope.
You got up and yelled. This was the dramatic moment of the book to me, one of several. Page 129, the bottom. What did you say?
I screamed at the top of my lungs that I am not a screamer, Adam. My kids know I'm a soft, gentle person. I said, I will never represent or promote Girl Scouts ever again. Never. I felt that I had wasted all of my time trying to make them better. All of that time that I had invested in my own girls and their friends. And I felt like it had all been wasted. But you know, God makes what the enemy wants for bad, good. And he redeems it.
13 years as a volunteer with the Girl Scouts, 5 years as a girl member, picking up a good portion of your life. But you also, simultaneously, when you yelled those words, threw your Girl Scout pin across the room.
I was pretty upset.
If there is ever going to be a movie about your life, that's going to be one of the critical scenes. Throwing that Girl Scout pin across the room.
Well, I'm just glad one of my kids wasn't in the direction of that thrown pin. I did later retrieve it, Adam, and I still have it to this day. It is in my box, my memory box. It reminds me every minute of why I need to keep this fire in my belly.
Habakkuk 1, 2 through 3, a great verse that you cite in the conclusion of chapter 17 of your book, Why Curse the Darkness? How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? You really could relate to Habakkuk in your battle against the Girl Scouts, couldn't you, Patty?
I felt so hopeless and so helpless. But there's a new horizon on the way, right, Adam?
That's right. Chapter 18, Start Something New. What happened when you felt so dejected and you went to see your father, who was then in that assisted care facility?
He was so used to our weekly visits on Sunday after church, myself and my family. He was a little bit of a goater, my dad. He was like, well, what's going on with the Girl Scouts now? Because he knew that this had become almost my obsession, was to try to shine light on this darkness. And I said, well, Dad, the latest is not something you're going to want to hear. Your son-in-law, who was running for the council board of trustees, was denied his moment at the speaker, but rather was humiliated and embarrassed, and then was told that there were no votes that were even cast for him, and we know full well. And it was just so neat that he said to me, he said, Patty, why curse the darkness when you can light a candle? He said, start something new.
And that became the title of the book.
You got it. You got it. Dad, how can I do this? My earthly father and my heavenly father convene at this really critical moment to say, you can do this.
I love the moment of introspection. I'm reminded of Moses at the burning bush when he was called to lead his people out of the bondage in Egypt. He felt ill-equipped because of his tendency to stutter. You write, I argued the case in my mind. I am too busy, too unqualified, too needy, and totally too harried. I'm not good at anything, including motherhood, wifedom, sainthood, or even being a daughter. I felt like I was a jack of all trades and a master of none. But then I realized I'm exactly the type of person God calls to do his work on earth. And that's just a great application point for the folks listening today, isn't it?
God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. And so all we have to do is say yes. And doesn't that sound simplistic? It's not simple, but it's easy if you have faith in him. You know, I always say to the girls when I go to visit and I do meet the founder events, and I say, girls, you cannot walk on water if you don't get out of the boat. Keep your eyes on Christ and he will bring you through it. He will provide the resource and he will bring you on a journey that is far bigger than anything you can imagine.
You were getting involved in all kinds of things, from forming the 501c3, and your husband had just gotten his MBA and immediately put his business mind to work in the founding of American Heritage Girls. There was a man who called you out of the blue and had this, remember, this was in the 90s. He was talking to you about something called a website. I laughed out loud when I read this particular set of paragraphs. And he was telling you about, you need to have people find you on the website, and you left that meeting. What did you say?
We just giggled so hard. My co-founder and myself, Lori, still my best friend, and we said, what was that about? And we're like, it was about spiders? What was that?
What in the world were you talking about?
Yeah, World Wide Web. He kept saying World Wide Web. And we're like, we're not even out of our houses, much less the world. But this guy has big plans for us.
It's just hysterical to think about that in 2020, that you didn't even really know what a website was. But God brought you the very people you needed at the time you needed them, didn't he?
He did. He sure did. I mean, he took this shy girl, and I was one of those girls that, I was so shy, I couldn't even make crank calls. Now, that was a big deal back in my day, Adam. We didn't have much fun things to do, but we would make crank calls. And that probably wasn't a very good thing to do. But, you know, we would call up people and say, is this the Whitehead residence? And they would say, no, it's not. And I would say, well, I must have the wrong pimple. You know, we were goofy like that, right?
And this is before caller ID, I might add.
It was. But I always would make my sister do it because I was so, so, so shy. So when it came to finding pro bono, because we had no money. I mean, my husband was just out of school, you know, MBA and four kids, and I was an at-home mom. We had no money. We were passing around phone bills at the time to try to get them paid because of all the calls that were being made across the nation about the concerns that we had. And here I had to ask for pro bono help from a lawyer. But you know what? He said yes right away. And I kept finding more and more doors opening. All I had to do was trust God and be brave and say what I needed. And not always was it yes, Adam, but many times it was.
The American Heritage Girl Oath, tell it to us.
I promise to love God, cherish my family, honor my country, and serve in my community.
Now, with the backdrop of your battle with the Girl Scouts, when you and your husband years before had watched on the news that they were going to put an asterisk after God in the Girl Scouts pledge, this was pretty important to you.
It sure was. And I'll tell you, that oath was just given to me by the Holy Spirit one evening while I was working on founding documents and so forth. It has never changed. It's never been touched. We also have a creed that has 10 characteristics of a God-loving woman. That thing was done by committee. The American Heritage Girl Creed. As an American Heritage Girl, I promise to be compassionate, helpful, honest, loyal, perseverant, pure, resourceful, respectful, responsible, and reverent.
Tell us the program. What do American Heritage Girls do? And how have you structured it with the patches and the various levels?
American Heritage Girls is a Christ-centered ministry for girls, serving girls ages 5 to 18. It is chartered through churches that want to grow their congregation and minister to the youth in their community. We've got many program emphases, but all of them surround a Christ-centeredness, and therefore no moral relativism, all biblical truth training, and a biblical worldview. There is an emphasis around faith, leadership, social and emotional health, outdoors, citizenship, and life skills. Now, life skills is something that you may be really familiar with, and badges. You know, scouting-type organizations often earn badges. They can earn service stars as part of their citizenship program emphases, where the girls learn to serve and to think outside of themselves and to create servants' hearts and really a lifestyle of service that will continue into their adulthood. Outdoors, what a blessing God has given us, a beautiful creation to enjoy outdoors. We can learn how to persevere and be gritty out there, to be able to not have everything just handed to you in an air-conditioned home, but rather to really feel what it's like to be self-reliant, reliant on God, but able to understand that you too are able to do amazing things if you only try. And then bottom line, we teach the girls about who they are and whose they are. That their girl power does not come from what the world says, but what God has done for them in their lives. That's American Heritage Girl in a nutshell. I mean, as you know, your daughter has troop meetings, and so they meet in their troops. And right now, we're doing some virtual meetings. We're doing some social distancing meetings. And if we're lucky enough to be in those states that are allowing for mass gatherings, we're doing that too. The girls enjoy this relationship building that is so integral to a girl's development, especially amongst like-minded peers.
What are the different levels called for what ages?
The program levels may start at age 5 to 6 of the Pathfinder program. It's a pre-reading program that really teaches the girls about that oath that we just talked about. The I promise to love God, cherish my family, honor my country, and serve in my community. And then as the girls age up, ages 6 through 9, they become tender hearts. And they're able to start earning badges and service stars and even what we call level awards so that they can set goals for themselves on wanting to learn more about leadership.
Yeah, my daughter Mercy is 8, and I'm going to be a co-teacher with my wife Amy of the Tender Hearts here in San Antonio, Texas. And I remember when I was just a parent volunteer and had volunteered to teach puppets for 2 sessions, what a joy I got out of not only teaching about puppets, but using some biblical stories that I brought in from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I had cut out this one Sunday school curriculum, had little kind of paper cutouts that the kids could color and then stick to little popsicle sticks, and that was their little puppet, and they could go through the whole story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their refusal to bow down, being thrown in the fiery furnace. There was Jesus standing with them. So I was able to teach about puppetry, and ultimately we did sock puppets for the second lesson. And also, because it's American Heritage Girls and there's no shame about God and the Bible, I was able to bring the Bible right in. Some of these girls are Christians and some of them are not. And what a great evangelistic tool for the community and for the church that's the part sponsor of that troop.
You couldn't have said it any better, Adam. And your own experience speaks to how the integration of the Bible occurs during the normal badge workshop. The girls learn a lot about potential vocations, too, through these badges. I have a couple of girls that have just amazing stories. One of them, she decided to do her Stars and Stripes. She was in Colorado Springs, Colorado. She would hang out at the Air Force Academy with all the World War II vets that were hanging out at their hangar talking about when they were in World War II. And she decided she was going to be part of the Living History Project of the National Archives, and she was going to record these gentlemen as her Stars and Stripes project. It was a fascinating project, a very unique one. But not only that, she loved aviation so much because she had earned the badge as a young girl and continued to earn it every level that she was, that she became a pilot of her own right and today is a missionary aviator in Uganda. So you never know where these badges might lead these girls.
After the Tender Hearts, what's the next level?
Explore. Ages 9 through 12, and this is where the girls really start to figure out this leadership thing, and they're able to earn a level award named Ida Scudder, and also their faith awards start to be in play, too. And then Pioneers come next at age 12 through 14, which are the precious girls that we spoke about with the Girl Scouts. Remember the sexuality camp? These girls are coming up to age. They need to hear about their identity. They need to embrace it, and they need to understand how God has made them uniquely feminine, and that this is a time where a lot of girls have a lot of questions. And so we are very, very tender and careful with our pioneers and patriots because they're becoming young women. And as we know from all the studies with George Barna, et cetera, that if girls do not know about Christ before the age of 13, the likelihood of them growing into adulthood and beyond not knowing Christ is very, very high. So it is so important that these extracurriculars that we as Christian parents choose for our children are actually aligned with our faith values and are actually enhancing their walk to help them beat the odds and become a Christian for life. And then the Patriot. The Patriot is age 14 to 18. They are, of course, the oldest girls in our program, and they are the ones that are eligible to earn the highest award in American Heritage Girls, which is our Stars and Stripes Award. Girls love to do this. It's a project that is over 100 hours. They have to plan it. They have to fund it. They have to figure out fundraising. They have to write a spiritual ambition essay that talks about their walk with Christ. They also have to have a board of review where they're interviewed by adults. This program is very transformative, and it's very much worth your time and investment.
One of the girls in our American Heritage Girls Troop, Kezia Paterka, she was a senior, and for her Stars and Stripes project, she did something really impressive. She raised $5,000 to pay for replacement windows for a three-bedroom home for missionaries that was located on the same property as a Christian homeless shelter here in San Antonio called Strong Foundation. Plus, as part of her 100 volunteer hours, she pressure washed the home and recruited 10 American Heritage girls to volunteer to help her paint the home sage green with a blue door and white trim. And, Patty, because her dad, Stan, has a business installing blinds called The Blind Man, she contacted one of the home builders he works with, and Sherwin Williams donated all the paint. In addition, five of her 10 siblings and her dad helped with the project. So it was just very heartwarming.
Unbelievable. You know, that troop in San Antonio is dynamic. That is so awesome.
In your epilogue, you encourage people to listen to God speaking to them. And to, even if it seems like an insurmountable challenge, knowing that God will provide the ability to get it done.
If the Lord God is calling us and we are not saying yes, we are missing out on what I like to call the table that he has set for us. And if we postpone and we say, you know what, I'm going to do that one day when my kids are grown, that's when I'm going to start ministry. Or I'm going to write that book when I have time. Or I'm going to do that when I'm 10 pounds lighter. Or I'm going to do it when I have my graduate degree. That's not God's time. That's your time. If he's calling you to do something, I encourage you as a listener of this show to say yes. Let him lead your life. You will never regret your decision.
Why did you close the book with Habakkuk 3, verses 17 through 19? It says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights.
We serve a sovereign God. He is all powerful. There will be times on your journey when you say yes that will be very desperate. There will seem to be no harvest. There seem to be no cattle. But yet when you're called, he will fulfill, for he is a fulfiller of promises. And that's why I chose that. This was not an easy journey. And it continues not to be an easy journey. But this isn't about being easy. It's about being faithful. And it's about being impactful. And it's about making your life legacy mean something to the kingdom of God. If we only would answer God's call when he does that, imagine how many more people in this country would believe in him. How many more lives would be touched for eternity. And how many girls would know who they are and whose they are.
Patty Garibay has been my guest, the founder of American Heritage Girls, celebrating their 25th anniversary. Find a chapter near you. Get your girls plugged in between the ages of 5 and 18. Or if there's not a chapter, one of the 1,200 chapters, 53,000 girls participating today, you can found a chapter. So the website to learn more, AmericanHeritageGirls.com, AmericanHeritageGirls.com. Pick up a copy of Patty Garibay's book, Why Curse the Darkness When You Can Light a Candle? Taken right from the mouth of her own father when she was so frustrated with the Girl Scouts. Her father said, don't curse the darkness, light a candle. And that's exactly what she did to American Heritage Girls, and I'm so glad she did. My own daughter, Mercy, who's 8 years old, is one of the beneficiaries of Patty teaming up with the Lord in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and prompted by her own father, who asked that question, why curse the darkness when you can light a candle? Get the book at whycursethedarkness.com, whycursethedarkness.com. Patty, thanks so much for this 2 days' worth of conversation. I know it's blessed many of our listeners.
I pray so, Adam, and thank you for the opportunity.
I'd love to hear your feedback about this 2-day conversation with Patty Garibay. Send your emails to adam@theworldview.com. That's adam@theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson, as we lay down a vision for the next generation.